God is good, yeah? You're very welcome to Liberty this morning. This is a place where your life can be transformed before you walk back out that door this morning. It says in the Bible of a man, his name was Samuel. He was a guy looking for his horses or his donkey somewhere. And he went with his servant. And someone says to him, come on, we go up. There's a man of God. Come on, we go up and ask him, does he know where the donkeys are? And when he goes up, the Lord had given the man of God a word for young Samuel. Not Samuel, sorry, Saul. Going up. And it says that when Samuel met Saul, the prophet was Samuel, he met Saul. And he had a word from God for him. Imagine a chance meeting. An opportunity. Someone invited you here and you think, oh, this is a chance to go to church. Or this is an opportunity. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe I'll see these people that are full of God and full of joy. And you think, oh, maybe I'll just go and see what it's like. And this is what it was like for Saul. And he goes to the man of God. And God spoke into that man, Saul's heart. And it says this in the Bible, that Saul turned around. And he was a new man. In one incident, one encounter with the people of God, and he was transformed into a new man. Can you imagine when you go home and your mom or your dad or your husband or wife or girlfriend or son or daughter and goes, I don't know what's happened, mommy, today. But she's a different woman. That's how instantaneous God can be in a hair's breadth in your life. And in my life, I don't know what's got into daddy, but he's talking different. He's walking different. He's loving different. He has a different way about him. That's what God wants to do in lives. So don't miss him. If someone wants to talk to you during this few minutes, give them an elbow and say, keep it to later. Or speak to the hand, because the face isn't going to listen. Martin Luther King Jr. was a man full of God. And men and women full of God changes history and sets new stories so that we look back on videos. I walked around this room with 5 leaders from the nation. And 2 out of 3 were praying about St. Patrick. What St. Patrick had accomplished. St. Patrick, a man full of God. An ordinary man. But full of God, came to this nation and revolutionized it. Brought heaven to Ireland. And I love what St. Patrick has done. But I'm not someone who's looking at a 1,000-year testimony. God is not interested in 1,000-year-old testimony because he's the God of today. He's not only the God of yesterday, he's the God of today and he's the God of tomorrow. And he's still looking for men and women who will put themselves and say, here I am, God. In my own strength, I can't do anything. But full of the Spirit of God, I can do all things. In fact, I can do more than I can even imagine or think. We have testimonies in this place. Your testimonies of people whose lives have been transformed. Whose lives are being transformed. If that's true, put up your hand. That's the testimony our city needs. St. Patrick, praise God. We'll walk in the parade. We'll get chased by dragons up on Connell Street. Well, that's not going to change our city one iota. But what's inside of you, what's inside of each one of us that have called on God, can bring heaven, that city, the eternal city, to this city. Amen. We're in the middle of a series called Illuminate. And we've been talking, the scripture the Lord gave us is about, in Isaiah 54, about the tent pegs, the stretching of the ropes, the enlargement of our lives and the enlargement of the reach of liberty. But the one area that has to be, that all that hinges on, if you were putting up a tent, the greatest pole in the whole tent is the center pole. Everything comes off of it. Everything that is going to be the structure of any significance is based on how deep that pole is, how straight that pole is. And then the enlargement can happen, and then the stretching of the ropes. And we've been going over Illuminate, going, looking at the pole of our lives as people, as the people of God. And we've talked about who Jesus is. Because if your reach is going to be long and effective, we have to know who Jesus is. He's not just some man that walked the earth. He's not just some great teacher. Although he was a great teacher and he was a great man, but he's God in the flesh. And the God in the flesh is God that can do absolutely anything. So we're not presenting some anemic Jesus, or some Jesus that's up on the wall somewhere, or some Jesus that is resigned to history. There's some Jesus like, I believe in him, but I don't believe he's actually with me today. Not by theology, not by what we believe, but by action. Well, then we haven't got the right Jesus. The Jesus that is in the Bible and the Jesus is not the Jesus that we present pointing fingers at people. See, it's important that we have the right Jesus. It's not a Jesus that looks at people in the world and go, evil, bad people. He's the Jesus that wants to run and jump in the middle of everyone's mess and give them a message of hope. It's important that we have the right Jesus, because that's who you will represent. Then Eddie spoke about, why did Jesus die? It's important to know that your sins are forgiven. It's important to know that he already took our punishment. Not just for us, but for the world. Anyone remember last week? I'm saying that because I'm stuck. I don't expect you to remember, and I can't remember. Anyway, we'll find it in a minute. But this week we're going to illuminate. Prayer was last week. Prayer, to hear someone, yeah, prayer, after I said it. It's important to know. You get the videos, or whatever they are, podcasts. You download them. You download them. And you listen to them and you go through them. But this week is about the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And for a long time, the Holy Spirit the church has kept the Holy Spirit out of a lot of things. The church over centuries has ignored them. There's been a greater concentration on Jesus and the Father, and somehow the Holy Spirit has been ignored in some ways. The Holy Spirit is being misunderstood, so something that we misunderstand, we keep it out of place, don't we? Some people think that the Holy Spirit, he's been misunderstood, that he's a power, like just some power, like electricity power. He is powerful, but he's not just some power. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's someone who feels and speaks and can be grieved. When something is misunderstood, we resist it. We think the Holy Spirit wants to take control, that I won't be in control. So what we do, we resist things that we don't understand. So this morning we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. We're going to deepen our understanding in our walk with him. We're going to understand the personhood and the work of the Holy Spirit and where he fits in to the whole things that God has. He was involved from the beginning. He was involved with creation. Listen to what Genesis says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who? Who created the heavens and the earth? Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. A Bible teacher that I had when I was in college 20 years ago, he was reading this out and he says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. It was hilarious. Our picture of the Holy Spirit was like Nilfisk. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. The Holy Spirit was involved at the very beginning in creation. The Father spoke. The Word was released. Who does the Bible say the Word is? Amen. In the beginning was the, and the Word was with, and the Word was, and everything that was created by, yeah, you got him. So Father speaks the Word, it's released, Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and makes it happen. He brings order out of chaos. That's his job, the Holy Spirit. He brings transformation into things that are out of sync or out of whack. When there's darkness, he brings light. He was also involved in giving life to man. Listen to Genesis. The Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the breath of God, the Ruach of God, the Holy Breath was released into man, and Adam became a living being. Also in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, he came upon particular people at particular times for a particular task. Try say that with your false teeth in. He came upon particular people at particular times for particular tasks. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Lord would pick somebody, and then the Holy Spirit would come upon them and enable them to do what God wants to do. Gideon, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he gave leadership. Samson, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he gave... What's up there? I'm like, yous are good. Bezalel, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he done artistic work on the tabernacle. I pray that God releases his Spirit onto us for leadership and strength and artistic work. He came upon Isaiah for in regards to prophesying. The Holy Spirit came upon particular people at particular times for particular tasks. He was also promised by the Father in the Old Testament. The Father says, I'm going to do a new thing. Where in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would only come upon certain people for certain tasks. Jeremiah prophesied that, like, this is when God pours out his Spirit, they will all know me. Not just particular men and women for particular tasks. In Ezekiel, the Lord prophesies, I will put my Spirit in all of you. Ezekiel again, he said he seen a river flowing from the temple, speaking of the Holy Spirit. In Joel 2:28, he says, the Lord says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Everyone knew in them days that it was God just using people for particular things. And the Spirit of God would become upon them but at particular times for particular tasks. But God was speaking into the future saying, but in the days that's ahead, you'll all have the Holy Spirit. Anyone that comes to know me, all will be able to come up to know me. And I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your men and older men will have visions and dreams. You will see wonders in the heavens above and see them manifest on the earth below. Who is this for? He asked Peter. It's for you, your sons, your daughters, and all of those who are far off in the distance who will come to believe. With the coming of Jesus, we went through this over Christmas. With the coming of Jesus, there was an increased activity of heaven on earth. There was angels being released and angels turning up all over the place to people to tell them about what was going to happen. Angels were opening up the sky and speaking to lowly shepherds in fields that were working. Activity everywhere when Jesus was about to come. The Holy Spirit was on the move, but still it was only on particular people, like John the Baptist, like Mary, like Elizabeth, like Zechariah, like Simeon in the New Testament. It was still Old Testament stuff going on. It was only particular people for particular tasks. But then John the Baptist arrives on the scene, out of the desert place. And John the Baptist has great links with Jesus. The last time the Bible records John the Baptist and Jesus meeting up was when they were both in each other's mom's wombs. Remember, Mary goes to see that Elizabeth was pregnant, and Elizabeth says the baby inside of her jumped, and from that day on, the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit inside of her womb. Rob, lay hands on my granddaughter. Inside that womb. The last time the Bible records they met, they were in the waters. In that mammy's womb. Splashing around. And here they meet again in the waters of the Jordan. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God. I'm not he that you are waiting on, but I want to tell you, there he is. Behold the Lamb of God." John was baptizing people. I'm so looking forward to the baptisms today. You go into Greystones, yeah? You come under the bridge, not in the village, under as if you're heading for Carrageedon. You go under the bridge where the railway is, and it's your first right. It's the YWCA, the Young Women's Christian Association. And just up the road from that, there's a car park where we can fit all of our cars. And heading back from that car park, there's a house. We'll have a sign outside, and that's where the baptisms are going to be. I say that again. You go underneath the bridge, as if you're heading for Carrageedon, but you just go underneath the bridge, and you take the first right. And then on your right-hand side, just look till you see the car park. You can't miss that. The Latouche is on your left, the car park is on your right. And then just a couple of doors down from that car park is a house, which is Ron Barrington's house. And there's a swimming pool there, and the swimming pool is going to be freezing, so they actually opened up the part where they have the hot tub. So those who are getting baptized, you're getting baptized in style. Bubbles or no bubbles? Bubbles. And there'll be a cup of tea waiting for us when we arrive there. It is important that we support. It's important that we're there as a family for each other. Afterwards, there's an all-you-can-eat buffet, Chinese and Bray. Some of us are going to go back there. Everyone's welcome. And we'll eat there, and then we go to church in Bray, in Liberty Church Bray, yeah? Yeah. And baptism is this. This didn't convince me anyway. Baptism is this. Baptism is, being a Christian is already a done deal. Baptism doesn't make you a Christian, or doesn't make you holier than you are right now. Baptism is a reflection of what you've already done. If you've given your life to Jesus, the Bible says the old is gone and the new has come. The Bible says that in his death we were buried. And if we were buried in his death, we're also raised up in his resurrection. So you've already done that. Now what this is, it's just a mirror reflection of that. It's showing the family, it's showing heaven, it's showing anyone else that would look in that the old is gone and the new has come. It's like this, I thought I was trying to give an illustration, because you're already, this church has put requirements on baptism. As if it's a separate thing. Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done that? Have you failed one of them? You're not getting baptized. You're already a Christian. You're already forgiven. You're already in the family. This is just putting on the family blazer. Do you get me? This is just like if you're following Chelsea and you put on the Chelsea jersey. You're saying, I'm a follower of some team. Well, baptism is putting on your jersey and saying, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I will go where he sends me and I will do what he tells me to do. That's what baptism is. But I want to tell you, somehow God honors that in ways that I've seen incredibly. I've seen people going in there with brokenness and they said, Lord, it's staying in under the water. I've seen people go in with habits and they say, Lord, it's staying under the water. So if someone says, if the devil knocks at your door and say, remember your habit, tell them it's in the jacuzzi and gravestones. It's gone. That old man is dead. We drowned him in the hot tub. Amen. So baptism means being overwhelmed, immersed, plunged, drenched. Dunked. The word baptismio, or something. It meant simple little thing like dyeing something. Like, so you put a t-shirt in that's white and you dunk it in. Baptismo. And it come up a different color. You think I'm making this up? I've studied Greek to know this. And that's the symbol of a new life in Jesus. You go in one person and you come up a different person. And this is the symbolic act of that. So don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you're bringing all stuff that you're hanging out with you, I'm bringing it to the waters. And it's getting left in the jacuzzi. Amen. And John the Baptist. Where's Anne? Is that added onto my time? It was at Jesus' baptism where he received his power. There was no special power in the baptism. It's where God decided to pour out his power upon Jesus. Listen to what it says when he meets John the Baptist. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came saying, "You are my son, who I am well pleased." That Jesus, on the day when he was being baptized, heaven opened up. May it happen today. And the Father spoke, "You're my child, and I'm well pleased with you." And the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to what it says in Luke 4. That's Luke 3. Luke 4, it says, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. There he went in, he received the Holy Spirit and came out full of the power of the Holy Spirit." In Luke 4, 1 it says, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. Jesus returned then to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and news spread about him." Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went and took the scroll, and he said this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." He received, he was led, he was filled, he was empowered, and he declared it. Jesus' links with John the Baptist is this, what God has shown us, that Jesus is a Spirit-filled man. And if Jesus, listen to what John says. John says that the miracles that Jesus was performed, that Jesus performed, can't find that scripture. We'll get to it. When Jesus performed miracles, he wasn't demonstrating what God can do, but he was demonstrating what God could do through a man that was full of the Spirit. When Jesus performed miracles, he wasn't demonstrating what God can do, because he knows what God can do. But he was demonstrating what God can do through a Spirit-filled man or woman. And John speaks of, John speaks of that if all of the miracles that Jesus done was to be written down, all the libraries in the world wouldn't be able to hold them. That was a Spirit-filled Jesus in 3.5 years. In 3.5 years, John says, all of the miracles couldn't, if they were recorded, they'd fill up libraries and libraries and libraries. 3.5 years. Jesus stood at the Feast of Tabernacles and he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me. And out of their bellies, whoever believes in me," he says, "as the scripture says, streams of living waters will flow from within you." By this he meant the Spirit, John goes on to say, who those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that point, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But Jesus stands up and he says, "Listen, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures declare, that out of you will flow rivers of living water. Not the Spirit coming upon you for a specific task, but the Spirit would come from within you. and that you will know me, just all like all the prophets says. And Jesus says, I want you to go and wait. Go to the city, and I want to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be clothed with power. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he went. He went, he says, I'm going to send the promise that my Father has given. And on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, listen to what it says. When the day of Pentecost came, Jesus had risen from the dead. He descended to heaven. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place because he told them to go and wait. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came and separated and rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages and tongues as the Spirit of God enabled them. They were all filled. They all received the Holy Spirit. They had new languages. They had new boldness, new power. All you have to do is look through the book of Acts and you will see what not just one or two men now or women being empowered by God, but all who believed empowered by God. The Holy Spirit has been given to us without measure. All the measurements that are set up are on our side of the equation. God pours out in Spirit like without measure. So the measurement that you receive is as much as you're open to. We can have as much as God as we want. How much do we want? Amen. So, all who believed, this God that comes to live in us wants to get out of us. He's like a river that flows. He's not like a pool or a lake that's stagnant. He's a river that flows. He wants to get out of us. Jesus showed us what the works of God can be accomplished through the Holy Spirit in 3.5 years if he's unquenched. In 3.5 years, the whole libraries of the world couldn't record the miracles. We live in an age where the Spirit of God is being poured out. Therefore, we can't be low livers. We can't have low thinking. We can't settle for an anemic church. We can't settle for a powerless church or a miraculous-less church. We can't settle for people, oh, just get through life. Just cope with your problems. Cope with your addiction. Just get through. We can never settle for that. Why? Because God has given us the Holy Spirit. God has given us the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We don't have to. We can settle. But I'm saying we don't have to settle. Because this city doesn't need settlers. It needs pioneers. It needs people that are going to step out. They need people that will say, look it, I ain't much. For he who lives in me is everything. Amen.